This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. Here's The Creative Way with Vanessa Finney.
This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. As a playwright and director, Octavio Solis has captivated crowds and critics across the country with his lyrical, imaginative work. But when venues closed for an uncertain period of time during the pandemic, he thought he might have to leave theater behind and focus on nonfiction. But in that first year of global shutdown, Octavio finally had time to revisit the writing of Samuel Beckett. And he gradually got excited about producing a festival of Beckett's short works. That production is now scheduled as a promenade performance through downtown Ashland, running October 24th through the 27th. Directing duties are shared among several local luminaries, including the chair of Southern Oregon University's Theater Department, Jackie Apodaca, Alyssa Marie Matthews of Puppeteers for Fears, Mildred Ruiz Sapp, co-founder of Universes, and Octavio himself. Octavio, thanks for joining me today.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on Jefferson Exchange, Vanessa.
So we're here to talk about the Beckett Festival you're producing in Ashland. But before we get into those specifics, why don't you start with Samuel Beckett's basic origins and his involvement with James Joyce?
Well, Samuel Beckett was born in Ireland. He was raised there, and as a young man, he excelled. And he was actually a fantastic, I believe, rugby athlete. But he was definitely made for the life of the intellect. So he read James Joyce's Ulysses and was really, really interested in working with James Joyce. So he went to continue his studies in Paris, connected with him, hounded him until James Joyce said, okay, come, you can work with me, help me organize my papers, do some translating work. And he worked with him for a while, translating his works, and he got to know his family quite well. They became close. And when Beckett was stabbed one time by a pimp who thought that he was intruding on his lady of the evening, as he recovered in the hospital, James Joyce came and found him a private room, took good care of him, restored him to his health. And so Beckett grew up with a great deal of admiration for James Joyce, loved his writing, loved everything about it. There was an encyclopedic sense that fed all his novels, and now he was working on Finnegan's Wake, which was even vaster in terms of including everything into his stream of consciousness, so much Greek mythology, so much of current politics, so much of his personal life. And Beckett started to emulate that.
Sure.
And it wasn't his real voice. So he determined that he needed to move away from that. And where Beckett felt like, when you read his books, it's a feast. It's a feast of the world, of the universe. With Beckett, he decided to strip all that away to its bare bones. A literature of starvation, where you get only the barest essence of someone's condition in the world in terms of what they've been through, what they're going through, and dealing specifically with the now, which is at the root of all existentialism, which is dealing with life as it's happening there and then. Even memory becomes an object in the now, and you have to cope with it that way. So that helped him through his short prose, and then he wrote Waiting for Godot. And when Waiting for Godot came out, it just launched him. It just really helped really crystallize his thinking. And so that also helped him with his novels. He wrote a trilogy of novels, Malloy, Malone Dies, and The Unnameable. And I had these on my shelf for a long time, Vanessa, but I wondered when I was ever going to get to them. And then I found out.
During the pandemic, you came across them again after already being familiar with them. So how did it impact you when you came across his work during that time?
Well, I was stricken with writer's block during the pandemic. When 2020 happened, all theaters shut down around the world. The world shut down, but theaters were especially hit hard because many of them were closed for up to 2 years, some 3 years at a time, and audiences weren't coming. They were afraid to come. And so I really thought that art form was done, at least my end of it. My career was going to be done. Mm-hmm. I thought I might as well retire and find something else to do, write prose. But theater is my craft. That's what I do. But in that stillness that the pandemic brought, that lull, I found time to read. Suddenly, Waiting for Godot made a new kind of sense to me. Happy Days made sense to me in a way that it hadn't before. And I resolved to find some way to bring those works or his other works out into Ashland.
I'm imagining what a lightning bolt that must have been for you to feel when here we are all isolated, extremely alienated and confused.
Oh, yes.
And you read something that's staged so sparely, written so sparely, like
yes.
Godot, you know, two men alone on a stage. And we're so
right.
confused about their setting.
Right. And that's how we were.
Yeah.
We were just like that. We were living in isolation. We were living with a great deal of anxiety mm-hmm. and fear and depression. And we tried to continue our lives, but there were so many silly things that we had to do, like disinfect our groceries,
right.
like stand 6 feet away from people, wear masks over our faces.
And choose your tribe. You
exactly.
Yeah.
Have parties online via Zoom, have a little cocktail party with friends. But that was the extent of it. And I found these novels somehow a comfort. Because I think at the end of as we came out of the pandemic, there was a lot of unresolved despair that I felt for friends that I'd lost, for time that I'd lost, for the way in which we all suffered together
yeah.
as a civilization, as a people on the planet. And when the world opened up, we just came right back out. But I don't think we really resolved a lot of that anxiety or confronted it in any serious way. The same thing with my loneliness and anxiety. So I said, I have to find some way to resolve this. And these novels really kind of put their finger right on the feelings that I was undergoing. And I felt like, you know, part of what makes Beckett so attractive is that he's one ready to stare down hope until it vanishes and then stare into the void and still have the courage to say, I'll go on.
Yes, there is hope at the bottom of it. You know, much is made of how bleak and despairing his tones and language is, but at the bottom, there's hope. And that sort of answers the question why maybe someone's not even into experimental theater, but what meaning they might take from this, from reading Beckett or attending your show. For those of you just joining us, I'm Vanessa Finney, talking with playwright and director Octavio Solis on the Jefferson Exchange about the Ashland Beckett Shorts Festival, running October 24th through the 27th in downtown Ashland. So which short works can we expect to see during the festival?
Oh, we have quite a diverse collection of works. The two that I am directing are Not I, with Amanda Moody, who is a performance artist from the Bay Area that I'm bringing up here. And she's completely in black, everything in black, even her face is blacked out, and only her lips are showing. And she has something like a 20-minute monologue that she recites with only her teeth and her lips
yeah.
showing. And I've devised a unique way of staging it. It's going to happen in the marquee window of the Thomas Theater on the side of the building.
Oh, brilliant.
So she'll be
I
in
love
there.
It.
So it'll
yeah.
be really fascinating.
So striking.
Yes. The other one I'm directing is Rockabye,
mm-hmm.
and I have a legacy actress from the OSF, Dee Maskey, performing that. At 92 years of age, I'm bringing her out of retirement and having her perform in this piece, which she had always expressed the desire to perform. And she is sharp as ever, has the stamina of any actor around. She's a real pro. I let her bring a lot of her interpretations of this really poetic, kind of a tone poem piece
yep.
to bear in our direction. Todd Barton, who's our sound man for the entire festival, co-directed this with me because a lot of her text is recorded on and played over speakers. It's her subconscious mind speaking to her.
Right. You have the woman speaking and then sort of a voiceover. Well,
yeah.
you helped her strike that off her bucket list then.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The other one we're doing is Crab's Last Tape.
Mm-hmm.
Universes is performing that with Stephen Sapp and Mildred Ruiz Sapp working on it. Stephen will be performing and Mildred will be directing that piece. That'll be at Carpenter Hall. What Where is a piece that we're also doing with Puppeteers for Fears.
Great.
I've been following them and their Cthulhu performances around town. They've been on tour all over the East Coast with that piece. And now they're here working on What Where, which is a piece that I've always imagined as something to be performed by puppets. Then Jackie Apodaca, who is the head of the theater department here at SOU,
That's right.
is directing Act Without Words 2 with two of her favorite people and my favorite people, James Donlan, who's one of the premier movement and mime artists in the world, and Alina Senal, his partner, who is also a terrific actor and a flamenco dancer and a movement artist as well. And then finally, we're doing Imagination, Dead Imagine, which is one of Beckett's prose pieces by Michael Roth. He's the composer who composed this.
Okay, great. We do have an excerpt from Imagine, Dead Imagine. So tell us what we'll be hearing here.
This is a section from Imagination, Dead Imagine by Beckett. Michael Roth turned it into a kind of a collage piece employing the voices of five actors from L.A. and San Diego. And he had a prize quartet called Quartet Nouveau from San Diego perform it. They toured it to Prague, and they're going to play it here. It's a prose piece that that Samuel Beckett wrote late in his life. And in the audacity of his youth, Michael Roth in the 80s wrote him a letter saying, is there anything of yours that I can have permission to commit to music? I just connect with your work so much. Is there anything I can do? And he wrote him a letter back saying, I like this idea. You have my permission to compose music to Imagination, Dead Imagine.
Oh, that's terrific. Okay, let's listen.
Only Murmur. In this silence. At the same instant.
For the eye of prey.
All right, that was from Imagine, Dead Imagine, which will be featured in the upcoming Ashland Beckett Shorts Festival. So, Octavio, tell us how the plays will be staged. Where will it be?
Well, they're going to be everywhere,
yeah.
But basically on the campus of OSF. People will meet on the bricks where we'll have a table set up, and if they bought tickets, they just need to give us their name, and we give them a colored wristband and then guide them all in to see the first play, which is Crap's Last Tape at Carpenter Hall. All 120 people, if we sell out, will be there. And then at the end of Crap's Last Tape, we have four porters who will break them up into four groups, and they will take them out to four separate areas around the campus. And they, by the way, all the smaller groups are going to go in a circle and see all the pieces, all four of those pieces, which means those four pieces are going to be performed four times for the audiences. And then once everyone has seen all four, we'll reconvene at New Space, which is also kind of behind the Black Swan by the Thomas Theater, to see Imagination, Dead Imagine.
Okay.
And that's our finale. We do also have a pre-show, a kind of wine and cheese for donors who made donations to our festival, with a wine and cheese chat and lecture session with a Beckett scholar. Catherine Weiss is coming up from Los Angeles to just engage us in talking about Beckett and these pieces, prepping them for this. She will also hold, after every evening, a post-show discussion.
Oh, fabulous. Well, this is a chance for anybody who hasn't seen these short pieces in particular, because they're more rarely staged than his longer works. So this is a wonderful opportunity to see some of Samuel Beckett's shorter works, as well as possibly seeing some new venues that you haven't seen in Oregon. Octavio Solis, thank you so much for stopping by the studio today, and I look forward to seeing you at the Ashland Beckett Shorts Festival, which runs October 24th through the 27th in downtown Ashland, largely on the OSF campus.
Mm-hmm.
You can find tickets and more information at ashlandbeckettshorts.com.
Thank you very much, Vanessa. Also, I have to say, I could not have done this without the assistance of my co-producer, Kimberly Colburn, and the support of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
You've been listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. Listen to other episodes at jeffexchange.org or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it for today's exchange. jeffexchange.org is our website where you can find these conversations and more, or you can subscribe to our shows wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Charlie Zimmerman, assistant producer. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.